an English episode of the podcast Jämställt Arbetsliv. Yes, that's what you're listening to. Master Suppression Techniques, eller in Swedish, härskartekniker, is the topic of today's episode, which I am recording due to, it's a popular demand. A lot of English-speaking people or non-Swedish-speaking people have asked about my podcast, and it's also a way for me not to disappoint any non-Swedish-speaking people I talk to about my podcast. And they're like, oh, is it in English? I'm like, no. So now I can say, yes, there's an episode, and it's about master suppression techniques, or as I will refer to it from now on, MST, because it's too long to say. And MSTs, sounds like STDs, I hear that now. When I say it rather than reading it. It's social manipulations of our surroundings. And it's a part of the social game. And just like our behaviors. Everyone does it. And it's often unintentional, which is why it's difficult to handle when we are prone to it. We use MSTs on our colleagues, children, friends, partners, etc. I'd say my relationship has a substantially lower frequency of MSTs, though. And it's not because I live as I learn. It's rather because I've taught my partner everything I know about MSTs. So whenever I'm like, honey, you're so good at giving massage, would you rub my shoulders? The response is like, you're using the compliment method. And the compliment method is one of the most common MSTs. And it's usually very harmless, but it's insidious. Treacherous? Sneaky? I don't know the word, really. But it has a tendency to make people blame themselves for being weak, perhaps, or for not standing up for themselves, or not being able to prioritize, etc. Because the compliment method is when someone gives you a compliment in relation to a task or a favor. For example, oh, you're so good at people. Would you take this meeting with these people? And it's hard to say no when someone gives us a compliment. Wow, you're saying I'm good with people. Thank you. Because we feel grateful for the compliment. And we feel as though something is expected in return from us for these kind words. And the favor is also sometimes wrapped up as an opportunity. So this is a great chance for you to show what you're made of, which makes it even harder. You're so good at dealing with people. Do you want to take this meeting? This is really an opportunity for you to show what you're made of and what you can do. This is your chance. Wow, thank you. Thank you for offering me to do this, like giving this to me. Wow, you were so kind. And then we say yes. And then we go out of this room, perhaps feeling stressed, feeling, I don't know, anxious about whatever we're supposed to do that we don't want to do. Mad at ourselves because we didn't say no. Whenever I talk about the compliment method, someone always asks, like, is it a master suppression technique if I really mean what I'm saying and if I just want to make the person feel better about themselves? No, it's not. It could be that you could say the very same things, right? There's something you don't want to do. And then you tell me, hey, you're really good at this. Do you want to do it? It's really an opportunity for you. Or there's something that you think that I should do because it's good for me. So you say, hey, you're really good at this. I think you should do it. It's really an opportunity for you. Your intentions are different, right? But to me, it sounds the same. Which is why, in relation to the compliment method, it's crucial to learn to identify the method. Identify when we are prone to it, because it makes it easier for us to make a decision or to answer, right? If you're able to identify, okay, this person is giving me compliments while also telling me to do this, but do I want to do it? Yes, I do, or no, I don't. So just being aware of the compliments, that's what we have to do. And when we deal with this method, then how we face the person using it is we mirror this person. So the person is like, it's happy, gives you a compliment, asks you for a favor. You're happy. Thank the person for the kind words and to say that you unfortunately cannot help them. Thank you so much for complimenting me on my people skills, and thank you for giving me this opportunity, but unfortunately I cannot help you at this time. Piece of cake, right? Next up is ridiculing, which is an MST that's usually very harmless. So it's about people making fun of others or pulling jokes on your behalf. And like the intention is really harmless. I just want to, you know, have a good laugh. I just want people to laugh at me. My intention is not to make you feel bad about yourself, usually. It could be like people being laughed at because of attributes or characteristics ascribed to them because of their group affiliation. Joking about millennials, for example, or well, kids these days, or PMS jokes about you as a woman. It's meant to be fun and playful, but it's not when it happens at your expense. And how do we deal with the jokesters without being the boring ones? It's hard. It's not that easy to not be the boring person, that if we want to deal with them, there's some things that we can do. First of all, never suppose any bad intentions. So the person just wants to have a little fun. He doesn't want to make you feel bad. And if the person pulls a racist joke, we don't say, you're racist, because that's not what the person thinks. The person just wanted to be funny. So that wasn't their intention. Their intention was to be funny. And I don't say that to diminish the meaning of the word said, but rather for us to remember to have that approach when we want to talk with someone. So we never suppose bad intentions. We question what they did or what they said, and like with curiosity, like what do you mean with that? How's that a joke? What's you know? So we try to make them perhaps question what they said, and by doing this, by saying, what do you mean with that? We also make anyone around us aware of what happened. And we buy ourselves some more time to come up with a better response. And we also have to help each other out. If someone laughs on another person's behalf, we need to stand up for them. Or just stand up for our beliefs. And we can also help each other by not laughing. Everybody wants to laugh along because we don't want to ruin the mood. We just want everybody to be happy and comfortable. We really don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. That's key here. But if we laugh along, we're going to make someone feel bad about themselves or feel sad or feel left outside because everybody's laughing at me. Even though I'm laughing because I'm going to laugh to save my face. That doesn't mean everybody else should laugh if the joke is on me. So we got to help each other out. Next up is the projection method. It's an inability to face criticism. When we question someone for their jokes, the person might use master suppression techniques back at us. And two very common responses to critique are the projection method and the martyr method. So the first one, the projection method. A person pulls a racist joke and I say, hey, what do you mean by that? How's that funny? Or something like that. And the person says, you're so sensitive. Or, have you got no sense of humor at all? You're so boring. See, the person's projecting it back on me. That's the projection method. Or in any other case, like, so you came in late at our meeting today and I did not appreciate that. And the person saying, well, you're no angel yourself. Like you've never slept in or missed an alarm or missed a bus, Mrs. Perfect. Instead of then facing the criticism, you put it back on the person who criticized you. That you're sensitive or you're no angel yourself. And the other method then, being the martyr method, which is then a person is criticized for something and the person responds claiming to be worthless or saying things like, oh, nothing I do is ever good enough. And the natural response to this is to feel sorry for the person or feeling forced to act as though you're feeling sorry, right? Or in more like personal relations with our kids, for example, you never let me do anything. Oh, yes, I do, but you can't go to this specific party. Or a partner saying, you always do this. You always make me feel this way. That's being a martyr. Or another apparently common example that I've heard about and read about is, well, you ask your partner to put up a shelf and when you see the result, you're like, oh, honey, it's so close to the door. We're not going to be able to open the door. And the person responds by saying, well, you do it yourself. Nothing I ever do is ever good enough. I'm never going to put up another shelf. I just meant we might have to move the shelf. Or, babe, you must have put something red in the laundry because all the socks are pink. I'm never going to do the laundry anymore. Never again. I suck. I'm so bad at everything. Yeah, you see where I'm going. Both of these MSTs, the prediction method and the martyr, we deal with them by keeping focus. So we got to keep focus on the matter that we criticized. So if we're criticizing, for example, then the joke and the person predicts it back on us saying that we're sensitive and that we're humorless, we have to keep focus and say something like, my humor is a topic that we can discuss later. Right now, we're focusing on your joke. Or me being sensitive is something that we can discuss, but that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about what you just said, or the martyr. I'm only talking about this specific event. I'm not talking about anything else. I'm not talking about you as a person or anything else that you've done, but this specific event where you showed up late. So we keep focused, because when we start defending ourselves or start defending the martyr, we've lost and they've won, because that's what they want. They want to take focus away from whatever behavior they have that is being criticized. And this is human. This is a response that we all have sometimes, because we feel exposed and attacked and ashamed of our behaviors. And we don't want focus to be on whatever we've done wrong. So we want to shift focus. So that's why we do it. You're all familiar with this, both that you've faced it and that you've done it yourselves. Last but not least in this English episode of Jämställt arbetsliv, gender equal work life, about master suppression techniques, is self-inflicted master suppression techniques, which is to devalue or belittle oneself. I might be wrong, but this might not be of importance, but I'm just guessing. I don't know, but I just have a small question. I'm sorry, I know this is not my area of expertise, but I'm sorry, excuse me, I just have a little... Can I just please... No, I'm so stupid, I don't know. But you might just, you know, want to try this. No, no. You probably have more important things to do. Yeah. And when we suppress ourselves like this, we also reduce ourselves in relation to others by, for example, laughing nervously, having a hesitant tone, or body language. You cannot see my body language right now, but I'm making myself look very small, although I'm very tall. Or perhaps because I'm very tall, I have to work a bit harder than others to look small. And why do we do this? We minimize ourselves to ensure that our surroundings aren't threatened by us. So we make ourselves smaller. And we have to deal with this ourselves, because this is something that we bring upon ourselves, right? So we have to work on this. So number one, become aware of the problem and start working actively to change our own rhetoric. Two, strip away any condescending or depreciative comments about ourselves. So instead of, I just have a small question, say, I have a question. And three, trust the fact that you and your opinions, knowledge, skills, whatever, are important in the given situation, and that you don't have to apologize for your presence. So that's what we can do ourselves. And also, have a look at your emails. There's a lot of, I'm sorry, just a little question, quick, you don't have time for this, I'm no expert, whatever, in our emails. So before you send an email, just look through it and give it a little bit of a touch up. We also have to help each other out. So talk about this with some friends or colleagues. Let them know that this is something that you want to stop doing, and ask them to please help you out. Could you let me know whenever I do this? Because when we do this, people will not respect us to the same extent as if we don't. For example, we have asked two people to come up with a solution for a big problem that we have at this company. Person number one. So I've looked into this. I have an idea about how we might do it. I am not an expert, but I have read these things. But my plan to solve this problem is that we can do this. If you want to, and as I said, this is just a suggestion, and I'm no expert, but this is something that we perhaps could try a little bit if we want to. Well, thank you. Next person, please present your plan. Yeah, my plan is that we do this. Thank you. Who sounds more trustworthy? Who sounds more like a leader or whatever we want to sound like? The second person, right? The second person knows what they're doing just from listening to what the two people said. But who has spent most time preparing for this? Who has read the most amount of, I don't know, research? Who has put hours into their presentation? Who has talked to so many people to make sure that this is a good idea to present, etc., etc.? So we ruin it for ourselves when we do this. And we have to become aware of that. And we have to practice owning our words, owning our ideas, and doing it proudly. Because when we do, miracles can happen. Yeah, no, not really. But you get the point of what I'm saying. Should we always criticize behaviors when we identify them? Probably not. Or no, we shouldn't. Because that would be very time consuming. But when we do, when we choose to criticize someone, there's a few things to keep in mind. So what I mentioned before, keeping focus. So the person would like to move focus away from whatever behavior it is that you have criticized. So keep focus on that specific behavior. Always assume that the person doesn't really, know what they're doing, or that they're doing it intentionally. So never assume bad intentions when we're criticizing. Because if we assume good intentions, it's a lot easier to criticize someone in a way that they can actually respond to and that they can actually listen to. So we don't attack, right? You're a racist. No, we don't say that. We say, hey, that joke made me feel a bit uncomfortable. What did you mean by that? And then they can say, are you calling me a racist? No, I didn't. That was you saying that. Yeah. Oh, you were so sensitive. We're talking about your joke right now. We can talk about my humor or if I'm my feelings later, And we're curious. What did you mean by that? And we don't value. So it's not you're so bad because you do this, but rather I've noticed that you do this and it makes me feel blah, blah, blah. So not you're so rude because you never look at me in a meeting, but rather you rarely look at me at meetings and I have wondered why, or it makes me feel blah, blah, blah. And when we are criticized, please world, we have to learn to see it as something constructive and that people don't want to criticize us to make us feel bad, but to make a change. I mean, not all the time, but usually most people criticize a behavior because they want to make a change, because they want something to stop that makes them feel uncomfortable or that is inefficient or whatever it could be. And whenever someone criticizes us, we should be grateful, right? Thank you for taking the time and energy and perhaps courage to tell me this. Thank you for letting me know. If someone has something they want to tell me, if someone is bothered by a behavior that I have and they want to criticize it, and they do criticize it, I am grateful because I don't want them to walk around being annoyed by whatever I'm doing, like talking too much. I'd rather have them tell me, thank you for telling me this. It might not make me feel good. It might not be something that I want to hear because I will be too self-conscious from that time on. But I want to hear it because I want to improve, or I don't want to be that person that bothers people or annoys people, perhaps. Be grateful that people actually have the courage to criticize you. And also show compassion to the other person's feelings. I'm sorry I made you feel this way. Or I understand that this has been hard for you. I'm sorry. Apologize. we can't adjust ourselves to all criticism, but we can always face it and we can be grateful for it and we can apologize, or we can say, thank you for telling me this. I will take it into consideration. And then we can walk out of there and be like, oh no, I'm not going to take this into consideration. That's just something I said. But we don't have to say that to that person. And perhaps an hour later, a month later, 2 years, 10 years later, we'll be like, wow, that person was right. So don't be that person. Don't be that douchebag. And last but not least, if a friend or a coworker is like nagging about another person, tell that person to talk to the other person what's bothering them. Don't go around wasting energy on people that bother you or behaviors that bother you. So either tell them or let it go. The most important thing I want you to take away from this episode is asking, what do you mean? Whenever you feel uncomfortable by something that someone does or says, or whenever someone does something in public against another person, just ask them, what do you mean by that? You buy yourself time to come up with a better response. You will make the person who said it aware of the fact that what they said might not have been appropriate. And you also make the surroundings aware of what happened. What do you mean? Try to keep that close. Thank you for listening to this episode about master suppression techniques, MSTs. I hope you've learned something new, and I hope that you can use this in your everyday life. Because as I said, we all do it. It's everywhere. This is, unfortunately, the only episode I have in English. And if there are people out there thinking, oh, I need more of this, let me know. Because I'm happy to do it. And your wish is my command or something. Well, your multiple wishes, if there's more people wishing for it, you know. Anyways, if you like this, please let me know and send it to a friend or a colleague. And perhaps you can have a discussion about it. Again, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Now take care. Bye-bye.